I'm Tommy Gimler. Even though they have been set since last Wednesday, the NBA Finals tip off Thursday night. Who's going to win? Who's going to be named MVP? Who's going to get arrested first? We've got you covered.
And I'm Mr. Tishon Phillips, and if you're one of the 52% of men who suffer from embarrassing ED, you don't need a little help. You need an erection on steroids.
The Daily Upper-Decker, nothing but sports and crap.
All right. Welcome back, Tishon. It's been a little while.
It has.
I was in Europe. You were, where were you? You were in Mexico?
I was under a bridge somewhere.
Yeah. You know, some people look at rivers of piss and shit and say, wow, these guys have it terrible. Others look at a river of piss and shit and say, finally, a good place to sleep tonight. That's where you were.
I love a good fragrance.
Well, welcome back, man. It's been a while. It's been much
back
too
at
long.
You.
Much
back
too
at
long.
You, my friend.
So tell me, right now people are wondering, why are we talking about this, the ED? Why are we talking about ED on our show?
It's an important topic that every man should face. Well, it's also like I think they're the third most prominent commercials when you watch football in the fall. So
behind what? Beer and chips?
Pretty much.
Chips, which pretty much explains why you get ED right there. I had sour cream, garlic, cheddar cheese, bacon, and baked potato ruffles, and I had a pint of Jack Daniels.
Yeah, and sometimes it doesn't mean your dick's not working. It just means your lady wants nothing to do with you.
Ah, of course. Yeah, she's moved on. She's found somebody else. All right, so this is really good. I'm glad you brought this up, that you're talking about this, because you actually obviously have the million-dollar voice. We talked about it week in, week out, and you actually just got a gig, and it's for one of these ED companies.
That's actually a line from the gig, and everyone's going to have to sign an NDA. Who's listening tonight? We'll send that out via email. So look for that, all five of you.
You think my brother-in-law, mom, know what an NDA is? They're good.
That's fine. That means they'll just sign it without question.
They don't even know who you are. Yeah, all right, here we go.
I don't know. What was your question? What did you say?
So we printed this up. I want to hear.
Oh, okay.
My wife was in Philadelphia this week working for TLC, and my wife texted me. She's like, I just saw Tishon's Lay's commercial. So you did a commercial back in the day for Lay's potato chips, and it airs all the time. So she saw that, and then it was pretty much like a day later. You text me, you're like, I got the ED commercial. So basically, now you are the voice of ED. You're the voice of potato chips and ED.
Well, it's funny. I mean, the potato chips are called Lay's, and then you go into erectile dysfunction.
So you're not getting laid.
It's a weird combo that I'm doing.
It is.
The Lay's and the dick problems.
Yeah, you're you're a very confusing person to be around.
I am a complicated man.
So basically what you did is you forwarded me like a part of your card, basically what you had to read, right?
I gave you my script. Yeah.
So read that. Read just a little
portion.
You didn't
sign anything.
Read a little portion. Yeah, read just a little portion of that again. Just not the whole thing.
Introducing.
That's great.
That was a portion, right?
It is.
That's a small portion. I know. But no, you want a whole, okay.
Like a whole line. Yeah, just tell me about the steroids for your cock here.
All right. So, introducing Promaxyl, the most powerful non-prescription pill guaranteed to give you the longest, largest, and strongest erection you've ever had.
It's a can of spinach. It really is. It sounds like a can of spinach. It's great. All right. So what I did is I said, okay, that's one way to deal with ED, right? Is that you get
just a pill. I mean,
you get this. You get the steroids for your dick, and everything's going to be better. Or you can deal with it this way. So I printed up a little bit of copy here for you. Let's see the way that probably 23% of Americans deal with their ED.
And this is, incidentally, probably better after you've had a few glasses of scotch. And incidentally, I'm working on that tonight.
Good.
Not that I have this problem.
Well, I think after a couple bags of Lay's potato chips, and you're looking at yourself in the mirror, and you're like, just disgusting. You can't even get a hard on. Look at you. You're gross. And you got a couple glasses of scotch in you. You're probably more at this point.
Right, and I'm sort of a barbecue chip guy, so it's, you know, got that red flakes on your hands, and
a little bit in the corner of your mouth.
It's always that, right? Well, it's not Cheetos, motherfucker. I mean, I don't, you know, I'm
somehow
man.
It's in your sideburns, like you scratch the side of your face, and you don't know how it got there.
I'm a proper man. I don't do that.
All right.
So this is your version.
Yeah, this is the road less traveled. Let's say that.
This is the late night version of this commercial.
Sure.
Yeah, troubled, lonely man. Look out.
We'll call this one the Toledo version. Here we go.
The alt. If you're one of the 52% of men with embarrassing ED, you probably feel like shooting yourself in the head. That's where we come in. Introducing Impo Pistol, the perfect gun for blowing your brains out because you're such a fucking loser who can't get a hard-on in front of a naked woman. Your gun may not work, but ours sure as shit does.
Yes, it does.
Guaranteed.
Oh, guaranteed.
If you still have a pulse after taking a bullet from our chamber to your dome, then we'll refund you your $12, no questions asked.
The $12.
Impo Pistol. The only thing in your life providing the boom.
That's pretty clever copy right there, I must say. I came up with that 10 minutes before we started recording. I think that might be one of the best things I've ever written.
Ooh, yeah. New York City. Mad Men, here you come.
New York City. Unbelievable.
Get the rope.
Well, you're obviously a pretty hot mess if you're ready to blow your brains out over a simple lack of a hard-on.
Yeah, it's tough. It's tough. But some guys are truly afflicted, though.
But it is a great lead-in to the real hot mess. It's time for the hot mess.
The hot mess.
T-Shawn, one of only two sports right now that matter to you. It's not just two sports, but two like playoff series that matter to you right now. The NBA and NHL finals are in full effect. We're going to talk about the NBA finals. They finally tip off Thursday night. Again, why they weren't available Sunday night. Sunday night seemed like a pretty good night to watch some NBA basketball. Yeah. Ratings would have been through the roof. But we have to wait until Thursday night. So it's MVP Stephen Curry and the Golden State Warriors squaring off against LeBron James and his hairpiece.
Yeah, I am confused a bit by his hairstyle and whatnot. I like that he's
gone. It comes and goes. Don't you see it? Like, it's like he's got hair. He doesn't.
Or is that spray on shit?
I think it is a little bit, but yeah. I think he's got maybe the little bit of a Letterman patch there.
Yeah, no, I think, and you know what? I'm glad he's gotten rid of, like, the headband made it look worse. You know,
oh, really?
Wearing the sweatband. I think it was all the more accentuated. So I like that he's that. Well, one, it's funny that the sweatband really didn't matter to him. That's really what it comes down to. It wasn't because he's sweaty. It was just because he thought it was smooth looking. And then he's like, oh, man, that doesn't look so smooth.
And then he blamed it on like a bad night of shooting or something like that. It's like, you know, he's got to change things up. Here it was just because someone told him, like, hey, man, you can really tell that you're bald at the age of.
And you know what? In that last game, you know, the clutch game he played where he had like his stat line was ungodly, and they were fucking honing in on him like he was some sort of like alien creature, and like just they were just so close up. I'm like, give the man some space.
Like the cameras?
Yeah, the cameras. Like,
was this with or without the headband?
This is sans headband.
Okay.
And the man is exhausted. He's like sitting on a table, and they're just so honing in on. And afterwards, you actually saw the little dude who was actually honing in on him, like on different cams. As LeBron walked away, there was the little camera guy who had just been like grilling him, like TMZ style, in the face.
Was he covered in sweat? Hopefully, he was just drenched in LeBron's
sweat
at that point.
He was just like a little like Ewok looking guy, and I'm like, dude, come on, give LeBron. It's like he deserved not to be scrutinized that way because, you know, he's in a very emotional moment at the end of the game. Like, it was pretty awesome to have seen him, you know, do that performance. And anyway, I was just like, man, it was just not a good look for a man who's been through so much, who's not feeling well, and he's got that weird patch on the top of his head.
Did the camera guy waddle like an Ewok, too? You know, Ewoks and little people, they really use their back and hips a lot more. So, especially if he's got that camera on him, right? You know, he really, you know, they're really going back and forth.
I'll have to say, he didn't look like he was moving that much, truthfully. He wasn't really hauling ass or anything.
What is that, inertia? Is that what you call it? You got to get everything moving? Yeah. I mean, the normal person, like 5 foot, maybe four and above, that's just a straightforward go. Everything's working. But, I mean, you got to move your hips, back, and everything when you're an Ewok.
Yeah, I did.
Looks uncomfortable.
I was really unhappy with that. You know, as someone who likes to make television, I suppose.
The fact that he was in LeBron's face, or the fact that he was an Ewok?
Well, no, the Ewok.
Because they never
fine.
Really as, bend their knees either. As you ever notice that? It's like, yeah. I bend my knees a little bit when I try bending them.
It was tough to determine. He had some pretty baggy, like khaki style pants on, so it was tough to determine if his little legs were bending or not. But he was. I was just kind of appalled by it. It made me kind of upset. Like it was because clearly too though. I think the producer was chiming in. Really get in there, and I'm like, nah, don't get in there. Like
I'm as close as I can get. I am.
I just didn't like that anyway. But you know, I think it's a cool matchup between essentially the perennial MVP versus this year's. Yeah, most special player. I think he's most special player because he was so entertaining to watch. Truthfully, you could have given it to LeBron again, quite frankly. I mean, that team was a bunch of fuck-ups, man.
Right.
That's a joke. But so that's fine. That's fine. Stephen Curry. It's kind of weird. Actually, that's also upsetting to me. Like, I know way too many dudes with the name Stephen that actually spell it this way. So what the hell's wrong with him? And I have a cousin, Steph, who's a girl. And I don't understand the Steph Curry thing. Like, that's just...
So if I'm going to ask you who's winning this bitch and in how many games, you're probably going to go with the Cavaliers. It sounds like you're on the Cavaliers train here.
I mean, it's like LeBron James is playing very, very well. And he has the kind of game, like... Steph Curry's game is clear. It's like he's like a magician out there. Like, he's truly amazing and fun to watch. But if you, I don't know, I love to put everything in historical context. I mean, my favorite NBA was the 80s NBA. And, like, a dude like Steph Curry would have been less of a player than his dad in that time because all he can do is hoist it up. And, man, they would have been fucking knocked the shit out of virtually every play. And it's just
Well, if you even go back far enough in the 80s, like, a lot of those shots would have only been worth 2 points.
Well, and there you go, right? Like, so, you know, makes me think of a dude like Pistol Pete Maravich.
Yeah.
Who was known and like, not, you know, fuck, it's not like I really got to see him play, but he may have.
You
been,
might have. How old are you? You might have.
I did just have a
You're
birthday.
A little older than our demographic. Yeah, there's two people who listen, and it's an average age of 27 and a half.
Dumbass youngsters. No, but so,
kids.
So Pistol Pete Maravich, also one of the finer. You know, it's probably not even a legal nickname in today's day and age.
Pistol Pete?
Yeah, yeah. It's like why there's no Washington Bullets anymore.
Can we call him Water Gun Pete? Yeah. Can we call him maybe like a Nerf Pistol Pete?
How about Slingshot Pete? Slingshot
no,
Pete.
No. Slingshots in the latest Bulls, they're bad.
Well, and down
Slingshots
too,
are dangerous.
Right? Like David and Goliath, knock them down. That's deadly. So again, this is not to take anything away from Steph Curry because he is truly electric to watch. But
All right, so is it Stephen Curry or Stephen Curry?
It is Stephen Curry.
Is it really Stephen?
Yeah.
Okay, because I thought I've heard Stephen. I thought I was always pronouncing like Stephen Curry, and then people were telling me it was Stephen.
No.
So if it was going to be Stephen, but you were saying, hey, Steph Curry, I'm like, well, come on.
Ordinarily, I'd say, yes, you're the dumbass. But in this case, apparently, like,
really, all right.
He goes by the wrong pronunciation. Like, it's kind of goofy.
All right, so what do you think? So you're going to take the Cavs? How many games?
I mean, well, and here's the thing. As the better in me, knowing that the odds are in the Cavs' favor, like, you know, you get better money odds. Like, I guess I kind of have to take the – I would take the Cavs. LeBron knows what he's doing. He's got, you know, and if Kyrie plays well, and he's had plenty of time to heal now – he's a tough cover, I don't know. It's hard. Like, I kind of want to root for the Warriors.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're definitely a fun team, but I think the practical me, it's got to root for the Cavs. You know, and of course, you know what's terrible. Like, what scenario could you have imagined at the beginning of the year that the Cavs would look like the mega favorites, for a fucking city that hasn't won a championship in God knows when? Like,
I don't even think the United States were formed when last time Cleveland won a championship.
So, like,
any sport.
It's funny to think. Then you think of, like, the woebegotten Warriors now. Mm-hmm. And they're like, well, they're actually And now they're favored. I don't know. It's all kind of whack.
The fucking Bay Area, though, if you think about it. Between the 49ers, and not last year, but the 3 years before that, going the NFC Championship game and the Super Bowl once. You know, the Giants winning three of the last five World Series.
They've been plenty spoiled.
Yeah, they're playing.
Agreed.
But here's the one stat I want to throw out to you about the Warriors that really might, you know, throw a spade into the side of your Cavs, you know, hopefulness.
Right into my Cav?
39-2 at home. So, I mean, it comes down to obviously that the Cavs, you know, just even without that stat, the Cavs have to at least take one at Golden State.
They've lost two or three in the postseason, though.
At home?
Yeah.
Mm. Well,
I don't know. They've at least lost two. It's maybe three. Like, mm-hmm. They weren't quite as indomitable. But, no, I know they're good at home, and they have a pretty vibrant and vocal crowd there.
A very flamboyant crowd up in the Bay Area. Hello. Is that what you're trying to say? All right. That Steph Curry is unbelievable. All right. So you're saying Cavaliers in how many games?
You think it's seven.
It's going to go seven?
I think it's a great battle.
I'm going to say Golden State in six. I'm going to say that they have a 3-2 lead coming back to Golden State.
You don't think Dellavedova is going to take out Curry's knee? I mean, that's going to be his assignment, game five.
He looks like a shady little fucker, doesn't he? You know what he looks like, Dellavedova looks like? You ever seen the movie Neighbors? Mm-hmm. He looks like Seth Rogen's buddy who does, like, the Barack Obama impression.
Oh, yeah.
He really does. He does.
He kind of does. You're right.
He looks like him. And I associate shadiness with a guy like that.
You know, I think he's an Aussie, actually.
Is he really?
Yeah. You wouldn't. You'd think that he's got, God knows what he could be. You know, he's got a cool name. I love the rhythm of his name, Dellavedova. You know, it took Charles Barkley, like, 4 weeks to say it correctly.
Oh, Dellavedova. Dellavedova.
I don't know. I don't think he's actually playing dirty. He's just a fierce little guy, man. Like, it's a fucking big man's world out there, and he's just fucking. He's just trying hard.
I'm just saying, it's 2015. You can't trust those fucking.
Officers. I'm trying right. hard, mate.
So Finals MVP. If you're saying that the Cavaliers are going to win in seven, then LeBron is going to be your MVP. That's the only way the Cavaliers win in seven.
Agreed. I think this is. He actually gets extra feisty. I think mm-hmm. in the years that he hasn't won the MVP have been some of his, like, best performances in the playoffs.
The year that they beat Oklahoma City, that was Durant named the MVP in that one?
Yeah.
So I like that. That'll be interesting to watch, I think. Is he going to be so pissed that he's going up against a guy who the league determined to be a better player than him?
Even though
Golden State had a way better supporting cast than
way better, but they had the most. They had an astonishing number of wins.
Mm-hmm.
Like no, they were like I take nothing away from the Warriors because honestly, they're fun to watch. They got the results, you know, and they just you know they're an optimum seemingly makeup for today's rules.
And here's another thing too. Like think about the last time it hasn't happened. Much, maybe once, maybe twice in the NBA where a first-year coach, Steve Kerr, has won the NBA championship. No. That is the white way. Yes, that is.
Regular Steve Kerr, we'll call
him. Yes, that is the regular American way. So that could be another thing, too, that plays in your favor, is how often has a first-year coach won the NBA championship? I think I heard that it's only happened once or twice.
Did Phil Jackson do it? Because I think he moved
with
in.
The Bulls?
Yeah.
No, I don't think so. Really, I thought that he coached him a couple of years and then
it might have been, but it was pretty like he really adopted a like Pippen was already there, mm-hmm. like all the pieces were there. So I don't know. Maybe it was 1 year, but it might have been like think of how many championships he's won, right? So it might be. Oh, you might be typing away on the old. The old computer there.
Uh-huh. In their first year.
So I think
I think it's worth finding out.
Like, of course.
We no longer have to guess in 2015. Among championship head coaches, 13 of them, blah 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 blah, have all won Coach of the Year award, blah blah blah. How has a first year NBA coach ever won the NBA championship? You ever notice that you type in like Yahoo Answers or like, you know, whatever. And the question is never asked correctly. So it's like the idiot who's asking the question asks this. Has first year NBA coach ever won the NBA championships? That's pretty pathetic.
Thank you, Petro from Lithuania.
Best answer. Phil Jackson, first year with the Bulls, 1991, has led them to the 1991 NBA Finals.
Wow. I don't need the internet.
There have been a total of six NBA coaches that have won a title in their first year. Pat Riley was the last in 1981-82. Ed Gottlieb, 46-47. Buddy Jeanette, 47-48.
Buddy G, baby.
John Kundla. It sounds like a sex move. 48-49.
Look that up in the Urban Dictionary.
Well, I mean, but look at those. Look at those years. I mean, those might have all been like, what were there? Four teams in the NBA at that point?
And then,
like, they all run through, like, the 50s. So
they
would have been
carpooling to the games, too.
So like, then it looks like Pat Riley. But this, again, this is by Yahoo Answers.
Say Phil Jackson? No.
Well, that was voted the best answer 4 years ago. Phil Jackson the first year, but no one said that before
that. No one's
that.
Confirmed that.
1 year ago, someone gave that other answer with all the other coaches that one's ever heard of.
This is a terrible bunch of data right here.
It is. Yahoo Answers.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Yahoo.
Hold on, let me type in, do I have Hep C? Let's see what Yahoo Answers has to say about that.
Yep. It'll be just the same. Phil Jackson, best answer.
Speaking of which, there was a question here I had on the list. Is there a player that you have voted most likely to pick up Hep C when the series shifts to Cleveland? That's possible. Have you looked at let's think of these Golden State Warriors. Although if in San Francisco and in Oakland, or especially Oakland, if you haven't picked up Hep C in Oakland, odds are you're going to be fine.
There's like rusty nails and
odds are, if you're playing in Oakland, you built up quite the tolerance.
Open wounds all over the place. Their homeless are known for having open wounds.
I think if you walk into an Applebee's in Oakland, you have a 10% chance of getting Hep C.
Well, take that to the bank.
All right. So, have you looked at any of these rosters? First player to possibly get arrested.
Wow.
Right. I honestly cannot remember an NBA Finals that has been interrupted by one of the players on one of the rosters getting arrested. But it's 2015 and people do some stupid shit. I'm going to go my guess is the big center, Timofey Mozgov in Cleveland. He's going to say something stupid. It's going to be a language barrier type thing. He's going to get in Oakland or San Francisco. There's no way they put like the visiting team up in Oakland, right? They take him across the Bay Bridge, put him up somewhere in San Francisco downtown. Or maybe up in Berkeley. That'd be okay. So I'm going to go with Timofey Mozgov. It's going to be kind of like he's got to be a Russian, right? That's Russian or Polish. But either way, he's going to find out the hard way that the DUI laws are a little stricter in California than they are in Cleveland. Definitely a little stricter than they are in Russia.
For sure.
I'm not even going like, domestic abuse whatever. I'm going DUI Timofey Mozgov.
He's one of those guys with vodka in his water bottle. I mean, there's no question.
Of course.
Yeah.
Little Grey Goose getting his goose on.
Duh. Timofey. I always get a kick out of him whenever they show his name. I don't know. And he's one of those like horrific free throw shooters. So, it's funny that like the guys especially the guys that don't shoot well, because the commentators have to like a lot of those guys are now like the whole tendency is to foul all those guys.
Right.
So they get a lot of fucking airtime now sitting at the free throw line. As they, there's all the antics of, the refs, giving the ball and all this stuff. And then there's all the little.
The sweat.
The tapping on the ass after you miss or make. And
is
then,
it, what is that? What is that? You miss a shot. It's like, all right.
That's all right. There's a finger in your bum. How about that? That'll make you do better.
There it is.
Timofey.
Timofey.
So they just get so much time. So they're just talked about so much. So you end up learning a lot about like these fucking goofballs. That you never would have fathomed. You just wouldn't have fathomed. And who's the guy though? I think who's the he's got like the awesome. He's the Latin dude that actually he hasn't played. Is he? He's hurt.
Anderson Varejão.
Varejao.
He's going to do something stupid. He's going to be all like, he's going to be so disappointed that he's finally.
He doesn't have to play, man. Yeah. Like, he's out there. He looks like some sort of fucking drug lord out there. Every night, he's got like some sort
of crazy-ass
smooth outfit. I'm like, that dude is headed somewhere after the game because he doesn't have to play tomorrow.
I like that. That could be a sneaky pick at 35-1. That could be the first one to get arrested. All right. So we'll talk about it again next week, and then probably like when the NBA finals are over 2 months from now, we'll talk about it then as well. We'll find out. So T-Shawn has the Cavs in 7. I'm going with Golden State in 6. We got to get moving here. There's a big portion of the hot mess. We're gonna still continue with the NBA. And did you see this letter that I'm talking about? So some teacher. Now keep in mind, Steph Curry never said he was going to Mount Eden High School, right? But some teacher took it upon himself because he runs a blog called Teach for Real. Okay. So in his blog, he decided to write a letter to Stephen. Or whatever.
Yeah, Stephen.
The NBA MVP. He decided to write a letter to Stephen Curry and say, hey, please do us a favor and never come to our school.
That's, I don't even know what to say about
it. Did you hear what his reasoning was, though? So his reasoning was that our kids, they dream so much of being an NBA athlete or an NFL athlete that they have no backup plan, that if you come to our school and then, you know, tell them to keep dreaming or keep hoping, they're going to just it's going to further like assist in their failure.
Listen. I don't even want to really talk about this. This guy, like, especially if old Steph hasn't like announced I was coming to Mount Eden High School or whatever.
That's the whole thing. Like, he hasn't even said anything. So this guy's like, Mark, hey, do us a favor and please don't come to our school,
Mr. Amaral. he's just using, like, it's just nonsensical like social media abuse. Like, he just put it out there because he knew people would see it. You know, obviously, like, Steph Curry is a very searched for name, and he's just trying to get himself on the fucking, you know, on the trending list. So fuck him. Like, you know, it's fine. You know what? And I don't even think there's probably a modicum of truth to what he's saying. Like, yeah, maybe that's true, that you don't think that there's a lot of hope for your kids. But like, this is like, what?
So basically he's saying like, hey, look,
this shouldn't be
these
a thing.
Kids that are coming to our school, like, we're going to graduate them or they're going to drop out early, whatever. They're going to go through and their lives aren't going to be in the NBA and NFL. So stay away. Don't give them one day of hope or like the greatest day of their life, probably so far, a chance to meet the NBA MVP.
Nah.
Don't give them their greatest day.
That's fine. They're not getting it, though. He's never announced it. It's not a thing. Like,
right.
Let's move on. This guy should get no more coverage. I'm going Stephen A. Smith on your ass.
Moving on here in the hot mess. Some asshole on the Falcons kicked his girlfriend's dog and killed it. The Falcons released linebacker Prince Chembo, whose lawyer says he didn't mean to kill it. So you tell me, how long will it be before Chembo suits up for another team? And that's the reason why this is not included in the pile, because I want to talk about this more, as it'll be very interesting now to see how long Adrian Peterson was forced to stay away from the game for whipping his kid with a switch, how long Greg Hardy was forced to stay away from his game for being convicted guilty of beating the shit out of his girlfriend at the time and then paying her off. Right, so he's getting another 10-game suspension on top of basically not playing at all last year, right? So I want to find out now how long it will take for Prince Chembo to find another team to play for, because it wasn't like he was that bad when he actually played for the Falcons. He only played a couple of games because I think he got hurt. But I want to see this is the thing behind the scenes. Like, what is the precedent that is being set? So it's
I want to know how many guys named Prince have been in the major leagues of whatever their sport is.
Well, yeah, Prince Fielder, obviously.
Right.
I'm sure there's a lot of soccer players in the Middle East. You know,
those guys.
There are a lot of princes running around the Middle East.
No, those guys just own and torture their teams. Those guys are not. They're not playing.
They always lead the league in their. They always lead the league in goals scored because it's like, we got to let the Prince score. We got to let the Prince score. We cannot no longer get beat.
Yeah, incidentally, I know that this is an anti-soccer or European football thing, but I mean, there's no FIFA shit on this, man. Like, we're not talking about some.
We are eventually. There is eventually on there, but don't worry about that.
Let's stay the course. Sorry. Well,
stay the course.
This is another one of these. We're fucking talking about these football dudes, and I'm not. There's probably some good. There's like the Final Four in college lacrosse. There's probably some good swimming going on. I don't want to talk about these motherfuckers. Like, I just
well, this is the one thing I want to bring up before right, we move on right, to the next right, one.
That's
all
fair,
right.
That's fair.
So his lawyer said he didn't mean to kill it. So if you didn't mean to kill the dog, what do you think? Like, let's say you kick this dog. So it was a Yorkshire, I think they call it, right? A Yorkshire Terrier.
Okay.
They call it like a Yorkie.
It's a Yorkie.
They call it a Yorkie, right? Yeah. So a football player, Yorkshire.
If you're not meaning,
like the lawyer said that the dog bit Shembo, so then he kicked it,
okay.
Right? So he didn't mean to kill it, but because he kicked it, you know, it's a small dog, so he killed it. So what do you think would have been like the injuries if you would have just kicked it like once, like, ah, you fucker, you bit my
What do you think it died? Well, I mean, a Yorkie, and so my mom had a Yorkie at a certain point, and they're honestly like. It's kind of ridiculous for an NFL linebacker be taking a hoof at a fucking Yorkie. They're like 7 or 8 pounds, man.
Right,
like,
they're tiny. So,
they're
but I'm
very small.
But like, let's say you just like you just gave it like a little thing with your foot here, right, not like
so
wound
you,
up,
you,
right?
You,
so that's
you,
like so it's like if a Yorkie bites me, it's like ah you fucker, and you just give it a little tap.
You
with
would
your,
not even fucking feel that. I'm telling you, dude. Like,
okay,
like it's it, they are like. That'd be like getting a pinch from something. Like, it's not even, like, a bite from a Yorkie is ridiculous.
All right, so then Prince Shembo doesn't have a lot going for him in his case then because the dog was found to have a fractured rib, fractured liver, abdominal hemorrhage, thoracic hemorrhage, extensive bruising and hemorrhage in the muscles in her front leg and shoulders, head trauma, hemorrhage, and is it edema or edema in lungs? Hemorrhage between the esophagus and trachea, and hemorrhage in the left eye with internal injuries.
Wait, whoa, whoa, whoa! The dog had edamame in its lungs, like those
edamame in the lungs.
Those
Yorkies love their sushi outings.
Those little lima beans.
That's why they stay so.
Restaurant.
That's why they stay so thin.
Yeah, it's weird. Very lean. Yeah.
So true. I wanted to get that in. It's just like these lawyers. No, I mean, I get it. You're getting money. You're getting money from Shembo, so you have to say they didn't mean to kill it. But
well,
I mean, that's ridiculous.
No, he obviously like. To do that, like he treated it like you would try and kick a 45-yard field goal.
Correct.
Like that's kind of. I mean, they're small dogs, but like that's pretty drastic. I gotta say.
Right.
But it's an interesting thing, right? So now, all right, now you've got me interested in this goddamn topic. So like this isn't wife beating. This isn't like this is a new brand of something where like because this is like
well it's Michael Vick. You go back to Vick where he
sure.
beat and killed the
yeah,
dog. So
no,
it'll be interesting to see like how long into it because you got to think about it when
right.
Vick did that shit to the dogs. That was a long time ago already.
Well, it's getting
so
to be there, right?
It was a long time ago. So it'll be interesting just to see. And I think that's the story here.
Or is the bigger story that being part of the Falcons organization drives you to animal abuse?
I didn't even
a
think about that.
A whole different twist. Who knew?
Everybody with the Falcons hates animals. It's hates dogs. They just kill dogs if you're on the Falcons.
And a bird is their logo. It's really
that's
weird.
Unbelievable. Yeah. And a big bird, too. Like
that's
bird
a
that might even
bird.
That might even attack a Yorkie.
He would totally
pick
eat
it
a
up
Yorkie.
And
yeah.
totally eat a Yorkie. Yeah, it's big time. Well, anyway, he's fucked. So we'll
maybe
come back to
was,
that 2 years
maybe,
from now.
No, I'm wanting to really visit this. I like this now. So maybe he was really embodying like the maybe even like a true American native way like the essence of a falcon, and he was trying to dominate the smaller animal. Like he was trying to be a better teammate by defeating the small animal.
Well, I think the only thing that I can say about that is that the attorney gave him some good advice and told him to put on some glasses in his headshot. So he looks a little more respectable. Like, yeah, you put glasses on a guy, it seems like it might just be a misunderstanding. And that's it.
It does. Well, it's just like, hey, I'm sorry, you just interrupted me from reading a book.
Yes. Moving on in the hot mess. Speaking of guys who aren't reading books, Cam Newton just got a $103.8 million contract extension. So that means if you know, it's hard to say with NFL contracts because so many of them don't see the end. But at an average of $20.76 million per year, it will make him the third highest paid quarterback in the league. My pretty much, you know, take on that is puke. Cam Newton. But
what
the greatest thing is that you think that he deserves that money. Why do you think he deserves
it? It's more like... It's sort of what happens, right? If you if you decide to believe in your quarterback, this tends to happen, right? Like the man gets paid, and I do think that I genuinely believe he's a talent. For a while, I thought he was maybe like the Dwight Howard, maybe because they had the similar Superman thing.
Ah, interesting, right? Of course.
I thought he was sort of the Dwight Howard of the NFL, where, you know, he had every physical gift to be dominant, right? Mm-hmm. And that maybe he was going to go soft and he wasn't really going to pull it off. But like, honestly, I really think that he's a good player. Does he actually deserve the third most? Is he the third best quarterback right now? Probably not. But I think that's sort of an investment in potentially a couple years. If he doesn't get hurt, there's no reason to believe that he's not going to be an effective player for them. And they've had some shit luck both on, you know, on personnel, on offense and defense. And obviously they've also hired some terrible like humans.
Well, they seem to like really enjoy their running back, so it's like, hey, let's pay three guys to be our running back.
Right? So, no, they fucked up in a lot of ways, right? And so I think he's been a highlight on offense. There's no question, and none of them, right? So we're talking about paying three guys who are all like below mediocre in effectiveness.
Well, I would love to blame all of this on guys like Jay Cutler and Andy Dalton. Guys like that. So, like, if you look at like Jay Cutler's contract, so Jay Cutler was given a $126.7 million contract, right?
He got way more,
and he's terrible.
Yeah.
So now you look at it: is Cam Newton better than Jay Cutler?
Yes.
Yes, he is.
Well, so that's fair, right? Is Cam Newton
better than Andy Dalton?
Yeah.
Yes, he is. Yeah. He's great. And when you look at it, would you rather have Cam Newton or Andy Dalton?
This is the point I was making without any benefit of looking at statistics.
Oh, okay, of course, right.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, it does happen, right? You have to pay a guy at a certain, like, you either do or you let him go get paid elsewhere.
But I think, well, and as a Broncos fan, you should appreciate this. But I think, like, if I'm Peyton Manning and I'm what? Well, how old is Peyton Manning now? 39?
He's like 107.
39. I'm playing until I'm 50. If how much better is Peyton Manning than Cam Newton? And if Cam Newton could get this much money at this point where he's averaging more than $20.7 million per year, then if I'm Peyton Manning, I'm coming back for another 10 years. Sign me up, Billy.
Well, I know. But Peyton Manning did take a $4 million cut, which, incidentally, he could have taken more just because of good old Papa John. But no, I mean, so he actually is taking, like, his, you know, he's only making, I think he's making like 14 this year now.
Which is unbelievable.
Well, and again, in comparison to a lot of like the top guys, like Peyton's going to end up in the top at least five in the league. Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, and what's crazy is that it's not crazy, but Ryan Tannehill was just given like a $96 or $97 million contract, and I would actually
Why are you not that upset about that then?
Well, because I was already upset about that, but I think that they're kind of on par. I would put Tannehill and Newton as the same level because I would put Tannehill as a better arm. But I would put,
but only barely. I'm telling you, man. Like this guy is a specimen, Newton. Like he is not. Like he has such a good time. Like when things are rolling for him, he has such a good time because, like,
well, let's.
He is a man among boys sometimes, and those are some big boys in the NFL. And like sometimes when he is clicking, he is impressive.
All right, fine. Let's go next season. Well, I want to do a friendly wager between you and I. I want to go Tannehill against Newton.
And what's
you want Newton? I want Tannehill. Let's go. Most total touchdowns.
Here's
because that throws in Newton's scrambling ability, which Tannehill can run too. But I will say that Tannehill will amount for more total touchdowns.
All right. As long as it's not team wins, because I still think Miami is.
I think Miami has a better direction. I agree. So most total touchdowns.
That's fine.
All right. $25. No, $20. $20.
Oh, look, you're already chickening out. I'm going to 30.
Ah, 50. $50 most total touchdowns.
$32.
My wife just walked in. Witness, Kate, $50.
Cam versus
She's probably going to end up paying if I lose anyway. So it's been a better year.
Better start at working overtime, honey.
So more total touchdowns. I'm going Ryan Tannehill. He's going Cam Newton. All right, moving on here in the hot mess.
There we go.
Moving on here in a hot mess. 300-pound pitcher from St. Thomas is an internet sensation. Did you see this guy? It's the greatest thing. Who said that fat guys can't be athletes? Ben Anchef is a super fat pitcher that can really bring it. He's making a name for himself, not at Golden Corral, but at the NAIA World Series. Who are some other athletes? Did you for starters? Did you see this guy?
No, no, but
he can hum, man. It is unbelievable.
The last part of his name is Chef. So it's sort of the food thing works.
I have to. But I was trying to think of other guys, like not offensive linemen or defensive linemen in football that have made something. But it'd be
is
like,
he the
imagine
guy that
like
instead of like the rosin bag, he's got like that thing of nachos.
And he like, just goes back.
And it's in like the, you know, in the fake batter's helmet kind of thing, right? No, that's not him. I thought I did see that.
It would make for an unbelievable commercial. So he actually the funny part about Ben Anchef is that he actually hasn't put up like that good in numbers.
Okay.
He's been basically like, you know, it's like he had a 4-something ERA, maybe like a 3-2 record or whatever. But now that he's in the World Series, because he played for St. Thomas, which is a Division III school, NAIA is Division III. Right, so right. Now that, you know, now that they're in the World Series, people
I
are
thought
like
that was
filming
like,
shit.
I thought that was a water brand. Naya.
Playing in the Naya World Series. It's some kind of prison league.
Yeah, man, it's the Caribbean water, man.
Naya. Nothing in it. So who are some other athletes that you can, like, let's say
that are fatties?
That were fatties that, like, you know, like, so for a pitcher, that's it's pretty impressive to be like a 300 pounds. So he was listed at 300 pounds, and like this one article said, that was pretty generous, which I agree.
Fernando Valenzuela, he was like a Humpty Dumpty, man.
Sid Fernandez, he was pretty big. But I'm thinking like other sports. Like what about like running backs and stuff like that? Like look at like the Carolina Panthers, Mike Tolbert, he's a big boy.
Well, the bus was big.
Right.
Yeah. But those guys were like
who? The fridge. Yeah, but he actually played D-line, but when they throw him in as running back, it was impressive.
When he stole touchdowns from Walter Payton.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. let's think of some other sports and not bowling. That's everybody.
Yes.
There's a couple fatties in golf, right? You had the Walrus.
The Walrus, of course, right?
Yeah. He was pretty. And
John Daly.
And his son is even fatter.
Is he really?
You know what? And actually, interesting story about his son.
Do you know how much his son weighed at birth? I bet you his son. I'll put dollars right now down.
Look
that
it
says
up, man.
His son was a C-section baby.
Well, that's fine. I bet he was over 10 pounds.
It's possible.
Yeah. What's funny is that I actually served the Walrus family at a restaurant in Denver when they were living there, and I was
to most people they're known as the Stadler family, but
oh, right.
But it's great, but yeah. It is I served
the Walrus,
family.
And he was just a bratty little soft fat kid, and
really?
this was at an Italian chain. It was like a small chain restaurant.
Where is this? This is in Tennessee or Montreal or
in
Denver?
This was in Denver.
All right, okay, all right.
This is in southern Denver. And so I was serving him, and that's what I remember. He was like a sulky little 13, 14-year-old, like very oversized, like kind of squished in the booth, you know, and this big soft belly in there. And I remember I was like, I thought it was cool. You know, Craig Stadler. I'm like, yeah, I love golf and everything.
What about Stadler's wife? Was she fat as shit too?
No. Golfers do well, man.
That's unbelievable.
Well.
Yeah. So she produced, she still produced just this fat fuck.
Well, yeah, but that's dad's fault though. I mean, like he got the dad genes all over. Like he got the good golf. He's a pretty good golfer too. The fat son, but it was really funny. Like I remember, it's something that I can't help but think of when I see the son or the father, and the dad had the sweet mustache, which helped with the nickname, right? Like he had the handlebar mustache,
right?
Which was about as cool as golf was in the 80s.
It was awesome. I mean, you had to do something to make a name for yourself, and Stadler's, he was just. Winning at the buffet. That's what it was. that's what his name was.
Yeah. So anyway, all right. So Stadler and his kid, and we got, of course, John Daly.
Mm-hmm.
And he also, incidentally, lived in the neighborhood my parents lived in, and he was known for trashing his house. He had one of his wives. I don't know.
Is this Statler or Daly?
This is John Daly, JD. And JD, this is right when he first made his money. Mm-hmm. And then he ended up living in this neighborhood. And, you know, he had a super, super fat house. And it was, I don't know if it was wife number three or four. And he was known for, like, just busting shit in his house. And this is a pretty quiet little neighborhood. And he got many, many a call from, like, you know, the neighborhood was somewhat like self-policed. You know, had like just the security people, and he was known for, it was like the average household got like 0.25 visits a year, and John Daly was averaging like 11.95 visits a year.
Well, something tells me that that is before they had DiGiorno's. That's right. If they would have had DiGiorno's, then there would always have been something there for him, and he wouldn't have been fucking looking for food.
Motherfucker loved to gamble. I think that was part of it.
Goddamn Jets. All right, hey, let's move on to the pile here. Let's move on to the pile. We only have 10 minutes left here.
We 10 minutes?
10 minutes left here in the podcast, so let's move on.
The pile.
We will we'll start with Anthony Livingston. So the way it is, we have no Andy Ostroff, no Barry Murphy tonight, so it's just you and I. You're going to play the judge, but I am going to play the hardcore prosecutor, right? So I'm just going to be the guy, just, and it's not even that hardcore of a prosecutor. I'm just going to be the guy that is like everybody else, that when they read these stories, they're like, are you fucking kidding me? And you're going to have to rule based on that, all right?
That's fine. I think you've already just given away our shtick, so I don't even know why we're doing this anymore.
Well, we have to talk about some of these guys who got arrested, right?
All right.
Like this guy right here. Let's start here in the pile. Anthony Livingston, the Arkansas State University basketball player who was arrested for punching a cop in the throat at a hospital and then fleeing the scene.
Now, he's not a relative of Sean Livingston, is he?
I do not think so. You know, and one of the things that makes this story hurt kind of a little bit more is that there have been no incidents in Arkansas lately with the cops and perps. So it's just kind of interesting that basically what it was is Anthony Livingston, who plays for the basketball team. He's a forward on the basketball team. He was at a hospital or outside of a hospital. A cop showed up. He punched him in the throat and then took off.
It's an odd. I don't even know what to say. I mean, it sounds wrong, though. Sounds unnecessary. Sounds wrong.
So, yeah. So he was charged with second-degree battery, resisting arrest, fleeing, criminal mischief, and second-degree assault.
Is he fast? Is it a fast flea?
I think so, because
he really stride that out.
He's a forward. He's a forward in the NBA. Or not in the NBA, but in NCAA basketball.
Are they any good, Arkansas State?
I know their football team likes to score a lot of points, but I don't know a lot about the basketball team. But he was actually pretty good. I thought he averaged like 15 points and 10 boards or something like that for them. So I thought he was a decent player. Anyway, they're going to check on his mental condition, which hopefully for him they determine he's not all there.
Now, how tall was the cop? It feels like that to punch a cop in the throat, he's really punching down. So I don't know. I mean, it feels like something in the law of physics there. Like, that's got to be, like, instead of catching his face on the, like, the, feel like the cop was really setting him, like, he was the guy, his chin in the air. I don't know, man. Like, there's some gaps in the details here, and I'm letting him off.
this is the judge you need to see if you're an athlete. You're known as the athlete's judge.
Yeah, I'm
the you should air after Judge Judy when she just comes down. You're just like the lightest judge of all time.
That's true. It's like, if you thought Judge Judy was too tough, here's the athlete's judge, Tyshawn Phillips, the Honorable Tyshawn Phillips.
It just says the cop is hospitalized and his condition is unknown, Livingston was ordered to undergo a mental evaluation.
Well, that seems like the right direction. Truthfully, I think that's the right direction. He's obviously a troubled young man.
He led Arkansas State in both scoring and rebounding. So
that's true. That's going to hurt that squad.
But the coach, of course, stuck to his player and said the behavior is totally out of character.
Yeah, totally out of character.
I'm sure he's never displayed anything like that before. He just, on his own, just decided to punch a cop in the throat. Moving on here in the pile, former NBA player Chris Gatling arrested for online fraud, identity theft, and forgery. Gatling, who's now 47, used to play in the NBA with the Golden State Warriors, Miami Heat, Dallas Mavericks, New Jersey Nets, Milwaukee Bucks.
In my
Orlando
mind.
Magic, Denver Nuggets, Cleveland Cavaliers, and Miami Heat. Again, I'll tell you what. It seems like he probably wouldn't have been caught if he just would have been doing this when he was in the NBA.
Yeah, I know that, right?
He just would have been able to escape the law wherever he went.
It's funny. You say his name. To me, he is the consummate I'm forgetting the term now. The consummate, what is it? The guy that goes team to team.
Drew Gooden?
No. He's not even as bad. Like, Chris Gatling was the consummate.
He's the journeyman player.
Journeyman.
NBA journeyman player.
But his name comes up. I'm like, that guy. I really admire the Miami Heat for bringing him back so he could retire on a team that he once played for, I guess.
It says here that Gatley was operating a scheme that involved multiple online businesses being used to gather credit card numbers. Gatling would then run
mostly
the numbers
online gambling, I presume.
Through their their other businesses for services never authorized by the cardholders. So it said, like, there was one woman who Gatling, like, met and said, "Hey, you need to do your business through me." So she gave him obviously all of her, you know, checking account numbers, everything associated with the business, and he stole like $90,000 from her, and she had to shut down her business.
Oh, that's rough.
So then the greatest thing is, like, his mugshot is just kind of like, yeah, I've been doing well for years.
He does seem strangely
happy. Rather chipper about
well,
it, doesn't
he's
he?
Also, that's a very Miami photo. Yeah, look at that. He's got the light turquoise shirt on, the big smile. He's like, yeah, I've been scamming people for years.
Man, I still got enough for lawyers. I'm good.
Well, look up his biggest contract. What was Chris Gatling's biggest contract? See if there's some details on that.
Probably just type in Chris Gatling contract. And I guarantee there's Basketball Reference. Okay, that's very good. Slide down to the very bottom.
So this is actually also, to all of you listeners out there, a tutorial on how to use the internet.
Oh, great. All right, here we go. So he made in his career, which they say may be incomplete, $29.498 million.
That's pretty good for the consummate journeyman.
Right, well, especially when you consider when he played. So it was 91 through 92 through 2001, 2002.
Right, like, he wasn't playing in the mega paid years.
Right, so his last year, 2001, 2002, he made $2.5 million. If that's him today, he's making $6 million.
He probably is. He's probably, what is he, like, eighth or ninth guy off the bench?
He was probably playing at that point, yeah.
Yeah, like, he was, not eighth or ninth off the bench.
In 98-99 for the Bucks, he made $4.266 million, which means that was probably 25% of their payroll.
Man, those Lou Alcindor days are still looking good, aren't they, for the Bucks?
They are. They were glorious. Followed by Jack Sikma, and that was it. All right, there's one more guy I want to touch here in the pile. Not literally, but it sounds terrible.
Oh, that does sound terrible. You're guilty.
There's one more guy here I want to touch here in the pile. You can't say that when you're talking about the law. Roger Jackson. Right. And I want to get your take on this, Judge. Right. The former NFL player was arrested for battery after he spanked an 8-year-old girl with a belt at, ironically, what was a motivating, it was an event for the Motivating Youth Foundation, which I'm going to be honest, if I'm getting spanked with a belt, that's pretty motivating to not do whatever I just did to get spanked by the belt.
Got it. So this wasn't like he didn't mistake this for like the 50 Shades of Grey convention.
I don't think so. Not with the 8-year-old girl. This
and that
was
would have
a,
been bad too, actually. that's probably worse.
Then
actually,
I wouldn't be siding with him. So as the hardcore, the hardcore prosecutor, this is one of those things. Like, did you ever get spanked with a belt as a kid?
I'm trying to remember, man. Maybe.
I think it's possible that I might have, but I don't think I did. I think I just got the paddling of the bare ass. I think I got a wooden spoon once.
I did get a wooden spoon,
but a belt. So I think what's going to come into play here is why she was spanked. And it says here that the victim had gotten into trouble while at the after-school program with her teacher, Mrs. Oprah Taylor. Adding that it's added here that the victim was eventually referred to the director of the program, Roger Jackson. The report went on to say that, according to the grandmother, after the victim was referred to Mr. Jackson, the girl was spanked multiple times across her butt and hand as punishment.
I how?
It's a very tough spot for you here, Judge. Are you going to side with, like, every now and then a kid needs to get spanked? But again, you know, it's this time it's with a belt, which is that better than being hit with a switch?
Who did he play for? Like, I don't know Roger Jackson.
I don't think that comes in. I never knew Roger Jackson.
Is it like Reggie Jackson's lesser known brother who played a different sport? I don't know.
No, it honestly looks like Roger Jackson may have just been like a utility player.
Yeah. Right. Okay. A guy who had to.
He played for five seasons for the Broncos in the mid 1980s. Nonetheless.
It feels like. Do you think he was related? Yeah, anyway.
But Tom Jackson?
Yeah. Well, there's Tom Jackson. There's a lot. There were actually quite a few Jacksons that played for the Broncos. Roger, not sparking a really great memory. I don't know. Roger, now that I know that, you're an embarrassment, and I don't want to hear from you. So you're guilty.
Wow. Well, what's crazy is that it's a Motivating Youth Foundation.
That's
what it's called, the Motivating Youth Foundation.
Again.
So there are two ways to look at it. You know, this is how they motivate people. They spank them if they get into trouble, and you bet you don't fucking do that again. That's motivating. That is literally motivating someone not to do something.
Roger's from the old school, and that's kind of not you can't be spanking other people's kids with a belt. At the Motivating Youth Foundation. I mean, that's a little too much. I do not like misbehaved children.
Yeah. They're getting away with a lot these days.
There's more and more. They push many buttons. They demand far too much without nearly enough composure or respect. Raj, I don't know. You weren't a famous enough player to pull this off, buddy. Sorry.
Yeah. You're done, Raj. You're done here at the Dud.
I one of my favorite sentences is pretty much picking up garbage at the side of the highway. So 4 years of picking up garbage at the side of the highway for Raj.
4 years. And if he accidentally puts like a bottle in the white bag instead of the blue bag.
Fucking recycle,
motherfucker. That's a belt to the ass.
Yeah, I know you're old school, but all that, that shit is separated now.
All right, we're done here. Make sure you check us out all week at dailyupperdecker.com. You can find us at Facebook, on Vine, and on Twitter using the handle at dailyupperdeck.
The Daily Upper Decker. Nothing but sports and crap.